If you will, turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Ezekiel. It's Old Testament, towards the end, one of the prophets, Ezekiel chapter 34. Scripture says, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and with harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd. And because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness, and I will bring them out from peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. It is not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water, and you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land, so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing. And I will send down the showers in their season. They shall be showers of blessing. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslave them. They shall no more be prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will provide for them renowned plantations, so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, and no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that the people declares the Lord God. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated.
All right. Good morning. As we were doing this, I picked the scripture reading today, and it was Ezekiel, which at first you think, what's an Ezekiel? But that's a great book, and it's a great passage that describes how God cares for his people. And I thought of something that we had talked about in Sunday school with evangelism, and one of the comments that was brought up and we talked about was, you know, we get the privilege of evangelizing, but there are people, and if you're like me or if you're like the rest of us, there are people that you have failed to share the gospel with and they're dead. And you know them and you don't ever get a chance to make that up again. And one of the comforts is knowing that God is in control and has predestined and he will not lose any of his children. And so we don't have to live with the guilt of someone going to hell because of our failure. But as we were reading in Ezekiel 34, we get a picture of God, not just from people who failed to share the gospel, but here's shepherds who were abusing the sheep. And God intervened in any of those situations and comes after his flock. He comes after his people. And I just thought that was a great reminder of God being sovereign and active and in redeeming his people and watching over his people. And so I wanted to just kind of share that emphasis again as we go about and we have the privilege to share the gospel with those who don't know Jesus Christ. God is at work behind that, and we have the freedom to give the good and terrible news of the gospel. And then the third little thing I wanted to say before we start. Today's Father's Day. One of the comments that has been made in the past was, you know, Father's Day, you get this, you know, good job, fathers, you know, make you feel good leaving church. And then Mother's Day, you get, you know, Proverbs 31 and you leave like, you know, you'll never live up to that. So I'm not doing a Father's Day message today because moms always feel bad on Mother's Day and dads always get their egos puffed up. So I'm not going to do that. But I will say for Father's Day, consider our perfect Heavenly Father. You know, follow him and have a nice day, you know, comparing yourself to the perfect Heavenly Father. But as we live and as, you know, I have three children, and if you are a father, live your life following Jesus Christ. And when you fail, live a life that is confessing and repenting, and your kids see that, and you point them to Jesus Christ, the perfect obeyer, perfect redeemer, and our Heavenly Father, who I don't understand how the Father works with his children, because he seems to let me get away with sin more than I would if I was paying attention to my kids. I would let my kids get away with the perfect Heavenly Father lets us sin. And in a perfect, mysterious way, he disciplines his children and he never lets them escape. And in his way, his mysterious but perfect way, he disciplines and brings us back. And so we can take lesson as fathers on what he's doing and how we ought to emulate our Heavenly Father. And when our kids or when other people hear, and if you don't have children of your own, pray for us so that when people hear about a Heavenly Father, the picture that's in their mind can at least be a godly one. Never perfect, but may we not be an example of a father that would turn someone away. Well, if that's a father, that's God the Father, I know my father, and I don't want a father like that. So pray for us that we would model what the Heavenly Father really is. And when we fail, we confess and we repent and we are restored. So happy Father's Day. All right. If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23, we're going to go back to Psalm 23. I started this a couple weeks ago, and I just want to read through the psalm to get the full six verses, and then we'll pray, and we'll get into our passage for today. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It's a beautiful psalm. It's a familiar psalm to many people who know God and maybe not know God. But it's such a statement, such a song that's full of truth. And I wanted to go through this. We started in verse 1 a couple weeks ago about and emphasizing that the Lord, the God, the sovereign God of the universe is our shepherd. And David, and we can echo that God is a personal shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And David could say that long time ago. And if we are his child, then I can say and I can claim that that God of the universe is my shepherd. God is a personal shepherd to us. And secondly, I shall not want. That's not just wanting something for lunch. I shall not be in need. I shall not lack. And that we talked about a contentment that a child of God has in knowing that God has prepared or has provided or he is providing or will provide everything that you and I need to go through this life. And even if he doesn't provide what we expect, there is a contentment knowing that whatever he's doing and whatever he's allowing in his grand design, in his grand plan for us. And so if we've asked for something, even rightly, and he has not opted to give us that, then there's still a contentment that I shall not lack, I shall not want, because whatever he is doing, I trust in him. He's my shepherd. He's the God of the universe. He can do whatever he wants. So whatever he is doing, whatever he's allowing in my life, or whatever he's sending in my life is part of his plan. And so I can trust in him. I shall not want. So that was the emphasis on Psalm 23:1. Today we want to go to verse 2, and really the first part of the verse. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. There were a couple little kids here when I was talking before, and we had a little back and forth about sheep. And sheep are dependent, and sheep need a shepherd. They can't defend themselves. We have goats, and they're a little bit similar, but not quite like sheep. But sheep need a shepherd. And when we talked about that, we talked about how their life and their livelihood really depends on how well their shepherd is going to take care of them. In verse 2 here, it says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." That statement is what I want to look at today. So when you think of sheep in green pastures, what is the image that comes to mind? What are they doing? Food, right? What do you guys say over here? Grazing, that's right. Sheep in pasture are grazing, all right? Sheep in pasture are eating. What's the verse say here that takes this to another level? He makes me to eat in green pastures. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And it's a detail, but it's a significant detail. And what I want to talk about today is what makes that possible, that sheep would lie down in green pastures. I mentioned a book that I was referring to as I'm studying this, and it's from Philip Miller. There's a quote in the bulletin from him in that book. It's a shepherd's look at Psalm 23. It's a great little devotional book. But he had been a shepherd for many, many years and a pastor. And so with my little experience with animals, I'm learning so much, and so I really enjoy the book. He pointed out there's four things that need to be provided in order for sheep to lie in green pastures. And so David wasn't just talking about their eating, although that's part of it. But when he says he makes me to lie down in green pastures, there's more meaning to that. The main premise for today, our shepherd provides what we need to live and function as he has called us. And he provides freedom and relief from everything that would keep us from resting and growing. All right, our shepherd provides what we need to live and function, and he provides freedom and relief from everything that would keep us from that rest and growth. So lie down in green pastures. Yes, there's plenty to eat, but it's also rest. Now, in the Bible, we're called many things. The children of God, we are his children. We are instruments. We talked about that in evangelism. We are his instruments. We are saints, and we're sheep. What Chad talked about last week in the influences that are around us in the world today that we live in, we are called to take a stand. We're not called to just be sheep who are defenseless and all they do is eat. We are called to be more than that, but God describes us many, many times throughout Scripture as sheep, so we recognize this dependence on God. We're called to action through life of good works, standing for the faith, to love, to evangelize, and yet there's this lie down in green pastures. There's this understanding and this underlying reality of a dependence and satisfaction and contentment in our God. So we go out and live, and then we come back and rest. We go out, and we go out with him. He goes with us, and we come back, and we rest in him. We go out by his power that he gives to us, and we come back and we rest and we feed on his truth and are strengthened by those times. So we have this idea of sheep in pasture and constantly being cared for, but we also know in Scripture that we are to be going, we are to be living, we are to be an ambassador for God and fighting struggles and fighting battles against Satan and against temptation. And so we're not just helpless sheep, but we need to be reminded that we are helpless sheep. That's what God calls us. And so how is God taking care of his people who are equipped and yet totally dependent? So I'll touch on four different things that must be in place for literal sheep to lie down in pasture, and then we'll draw that into Scripture and see how that takes place where David could say this and it means something to us as his children. First of all, sheep are vulnerable. And because they're vulnerable, there's two different things that they must be free from. Number one is predators. If they're in pasture and there's predators, they have to be protected. They must be free from predators so they feel safe and therefore eat. Okay, also because they're vulnerable, they must be free from irritants, from things that would irritate them. Maybe not kill them, but would irritate them. And so they can be calm. And if they're eating, they can eat. And if they're done eating, they can rest. And if there's things that are irritating them, they never get to relax. They never get to be calm. And so when David says he makes me, when sheep lie down in green pastures, they're not, they feel safe and there's a calmness. Thirdly, sheep are a flock. And so that means there are other sheep. And sheep need to feel free from strife from other sheep. And we'll talk about the nature of sheep when they're together. And so there needs to be peace in order for sheep to feed and then rest and lie down. If there's strife within a flock, there's no lying down in pastures. And fourthly, and the more obvious one, they are living, so they need to eat. And when they're hungry, they need to be fed. And so they must be free from hunger, so they're satisfied. And they can lie down in green pastures. So there's four things. They must be free from predators, irritants, from strife, and from hunger, and they can lie down in green pastures, as David describes here. It is the good and attentive shepherd that's going to provide all of these things for sheep. And they recognize this shepherd, and they follow, the sheep that recognize that and the sheep that follow this kind of shepherd are those who are living the good life. You know, they're healthy, they're well-fed sheep, and they're contented. So we're going to talk about those four things. The first one, sheep are vulnerable. Little examples about the sheep. The most common predators we'd hear about, wolves, okay? Sheep are coyotes, even dogs. You guys had goats. I have a kindred spirit here. The Combs had goats too. We have goats, and if a dog shows up that's not your dog and barks, the goats take notice. Sheep, even worse. something that's seen as a threat will stir them up and they will constantly be on alert. It might be a legit threat or a perceived threat, but regardless, sheep can't fight for themselves. And so if they're on alert, they're standing up, they're not really eating, they're looking and they're listening, and their only defense is to run. So they're constantly ready to run if they sense a threat there. They're always vulnerable because they can, they can't depend on themselves to defend themselves. So while they're always vulnerable, much of the time there isn't a physical threat there, so they can. But so too in the Christian life, as Christians, life is uncertain, right? Temptation could come at any time. And while sheep could actually be in a pasture and there wouldn't be any threat, is there any time when there's not a threat to us as Christians? Is there really any time that there's not a threat of temptation? No, Satan is always active. The attack is always imminent and present. From within, Romans chapter 7, verse 21, Paul, you know, the super Christian, Paul says, "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand." From within, temptation is from without. Matthew 10, 16, Jesus says, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." Those who reject God will reject us as we follow him. And so there's a temptation, there's a threat, there are predators. It's not unsaved people, it's Satan himself, it's spiritual attack, it's the world system that attacks what we believe, and Chad brought that up, you know, last week. So we can either live in a sense of fear, constantly being on alert and anxiety, or we can live in a sense of rest. And what's the difference with the sheep? If they're alerted by a predator, the presence of the shepherd can put the flock at ease. The shepherd quiets the flock. Our call to worship was Psalm 4, verses 6 through 8. And in verse 8 says, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety." Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10 says, "The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble, and those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." But sometimes it doesn't feel that way. Psalm 10, verse 1 says, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" And then down in verse 12, it says, "Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, 'You will not call to account'? But you do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless." That's the same psalmist, David, who wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want." That he knows God as the protector. Even when he can't see him, he doesn't feel his presence there, the presence of the shepherd quiets the flock. We've had our animals and, you know, we'll be inside with the windows open and we'll hear, we have chickens too, so they get alerted. If there's a lot of rabble going out there, something might be going on, something got them stirred up. And sometimes just walking out and us talking, they hear us, there's a quiet. And there's a somewhat of a calming because their owner is present. The shepherd can quiet the flock just from his presence. Christ, our shepherd, is there in our temptation. When we feel oppressed, when we are oppressed, and the Holy Spirit is our helper. Romans 8, I'm going to refer back to this passage a few times, but Romans 8, verse 26, not just God, Jehovah, but Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit working in conjunction help us in times when we feel like we are prey. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." And in verse 31, it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" And in verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, rulers, things present, nor things to come, nor powers, height, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus Christ is our good shepherd, and when we recognize that he is always with us, we can lie down in safety. All right, second thing that sheep are vulnerable to is irritants. How's your dog? Emily was telling me about her dog, the healthy one, who gets attacked by these bugs. And sheep in the pasture, summertime is fly time. And the bugs come out, and when animals are out trying to graze, you might see a horse, you know, swishing his tail, swatting flies away, or twitching their bodies. And sheep are limited. They don't have tails. They don't have hands and arms. They hardly have ears, but they can be constantly irritated at times by little bugs, little irritants, little things that get up their nose and in their eyes and in their ears, and they're trying to eat, let alone trying to rest. And if they're constantly irritated, they will never get to that point. They'll stay standing up, they'll move around, they'll stomp their feet, they may go to shade, they may leave good pasture to just find some relief from what's irritating, what's bugging them, literally. All right, Christian, life is full of these kind of things. David says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Can you truly rest, or are you sometimes constantly irritated by different trials or different nuances or different things that just, it's not going to kill you, but man, this is driving me crazy. Irritations. Satan loves to use those things to distract us from what's most important, to rob us of peace or of rest. It may be a personality. It may be a trial that's come. It may be your disposition or a specific circumstance. Things that come to mind that don't overwhelm us, but they nag us, they bug us, they drive us to distraction and to frustration. One very minor thing is if I have to study, Beth laughs at me because it'll take me like 10 minutes because I gotta get my book like this, and I gotta cut a cup of coffee here, and I forgot my glasses. There'll be something that's always constantly. We just sit down and focus and do what you need to do. Things will come to mind, and I'll start dwelling on them, and little squirrels that my mind will chase all the time to keep me from accomplishing what I want to do, or to keep me from just thinking about what I'm trying to read. There are other things that are more serious. Struggles that you have with sin. Struggles that you have with life in general. Pressures from the outside that just gnaw at you. Romans 7, we read where Paul wants to do right, but evil lies close at hand. He goes on to say, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? So animals are irritated and can't rest. We can be irritated and can't rest by the things, the trials, the different burdens. But when the shepherd attends to the flock, he can apply a balm on the sheep's nose, around his eyes, around the ears, to drive away and to keep away pests that would drive them to distraction. When Paul says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Verse 25 says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the balm. The shepherd attends to the flock. Christ our shepherd attends to us. And he utilizes the Trinity. The Holy Spirit comes along, and we read in verse 26 of chapter 8, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So we take our irritations, we take our trials to him. God, I can't deal with this. Please help me. And as we recognize that our good shepherd is with us, cares for us and intercedes for us, works within us, we can lie down and be calm. The third thing about sheep, they're vulnerable to predators, they're vulnerable to irritants. The third thing about them is that they're social beings. We are social beings, sheep are social beings. So you have a flock of lots of different sheep. Sheep need to be free from strife among other sheep. We have chickens, and one of the lessons that we learned about chickens, there's a pecking order. You know, we've heard the phrase, it's literal. It's a pecking order. There are chickens that dominate other birds. And in our first coop that we built, we had somebody in my family saves everything. So we had these wooden ladders, and so we used them as roosts in the coop. And so we took a wooden ladder, made it fit, we leaned it up against there, and so now we have several different places for the chickens to roost on at night. They like to be off the ground. They feel safer up in the air. So perfect. Well, what we found was there's all this scurrying going on every night in the coop. Well, the higher they are, the better they are. And so if there are rungs here and here and here, well, whoever's up here, if they're a young bird, the older ones are like, no, I don't think so. So they'll peck, they'll bother each other. And it sounds like there's a raccoon in there, but it's just them fighting for the pecking order until finally they get it right. So in our new coop, I got smart. I took the ladder in. Instead of leaning this way, I just put two side by side. So everything is on a level playing field. So they all roost side beside each other. There's no fighting, I don't think. Definitely not like before. But a simple little thing to avoid the pecking order in a flock of birds. I didn't know much about the sheep, although we watch our goats, and when it's feeding time, there is no kindness when it comes to animals feeding. They will butt each other out of the way, and they will move each other out of the way. As I was reading, and our scripture reading today was from Ezekiel 34, God is chastising shepherds who are abusing the flock. And that's the first part of the chapter. But in Ezekiel 34, if you want to go back to that passage, in verse 20, if you remember when Chad was reading, he says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between sheep and sheep." And at first, I didn't really understand that. Verse 17, "I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats." And God goes on to describe in this chastisement of people, he's describing sheep behavior. When you have bully sheep, you have sheep who are trying to eat and rest, and a more dominant animal will come and for very selfish reasons just butt the other sheep out of the way. And they want to eat that grass. There's nothing special about that grass compared to this grass, but they want that grass. And so they will butt them out of the way just to show their dominance. And so dominant sheep become bullies. Smaller ones are nervous, waiting for if they get any peace. They're restless, and sometimes they're injured. But we see here, even in Scripture, God describes this kind of activity. It says in verse 21, "Because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad." So he's describing literal sheep animal behavior, and he's telling you, these people, you're doing this to each other. And so within the flock, within groups of people, there can be strife, and it can rob them from any kind of rest. Within the Christian life, life is with other people. Christian or not, but we live among other people. I would hope that that kind of bullying and that kind of behavior doesn't take place within the church. God forbid that it would happen in the church, but we're people, and so that's certainly possible. If that happens, please identify it in some way. But in a church especially, may it never be. Here, God's calling out the leaders of his people who have made themselves fat at the expense of the people. May it never be in the church. May it never be in this church. We need God to keep us from that. But even outside of the church, within a family or within society, Some are just trying to figure out who you are or how you fit in, right? And yet you have pressure from the outside. Chad, I want to thank you for what you said last week. Self-affirmation is the theory that asserts that the overall goal of the self system is to protect an image of its self-integrity and of its moral adequacy. And if you're trying to figure out as a kid, you know, who you are, and then you're being bombarded with, you can define yourself, you can have the world or the world systems defining your identity. Are you that to figure it out on your own, or are you an image bearer of God, your creator? Our world is constantly bombarding us with ideas and with reasons and information to make us question what God has made us, how God has made us. Are you left to figure that out on your own, or is your identity defined by God? Some are finding their identity or their value or their worth at the expense of others. Do you have to put somebody down in order to have any kind of worth? Do you have to use somebody in order to make yourself feel important? And that's not just kids, that's any of us. If you have a job and you have to step on someone in order to get a raise, do you need to do that? Do you find any value in what you do? Or have you lost your value if you lose your job? You graduate from high school. Is your value dependent on what you are going to declare as a major or whether you go to school or not? And so there's all this pressure to rob us from any kind of rest. But the presence of a shepherd within strife, within a flock, the presence of the shepherd can quiet the flock. First of all, he would discipline the bully animal. And secondly, his presence would put them in perspective because he is the alpha male. God is in charge. And any one of us who would like to assert anything of our own over somebody else, when Jesus is in the building and we put ourselves in perspective to who he is, who God is, who our shepherd is, that ought to humble us and put us in our place. So the presence of the shepherd quiets the flock. Jesus demonstrated that perfect humility in John 13. We read that last week as well. He calls his people to demonstrate the same humility. If God Almighty can come down and become a man and then humble himself and wash his disciples' feet, and we are his messengers, how could we not have the same attitude of humility? 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." So this humility and a contentment in your identity as one of God's children. You're one of his flock. There's no need for fighting for more. There's no need for jealousy or discontent, comparing yourselves to others. Paul says in Philippians 4, he's learned to be content. And in 1 Timothy 6, he challenges all of us to live in a humble way because godliness with contentment is great gain. A humble heart that walks quietly and contentedly in the close and intimate companionship of Christ is a heart of rest. That determines your status. Christ determines your status. His opinion of you matters most, while humans' opinions, although they're the people that we see and that we hear, their opinions are going to change, they're fickle, they're unpredictable. What determines our identity, what gives us peace, is knowing that our good shepherd is always with us, he loves us, and we can lie down in peace. All right, the last one is that because sheep are living beings, they're hungry and they need to be fed. And for sheep to lie down in green pastures, they have to be well fed. If I had a color that would describe Israel, it would probably be brown. What do I know? I've never been there, but it seems like Israel is a brown place. So to have green pasture, those don't just happen. A shepherd takes a lot of preparation to make sure that there are green pastures for their sheep to eat. He's got to plant grass, remove weeds, move to a different place so that it's not overgrazed, so those pastures will be there when they need them. And then he has to give them time to eat and then be full and then to rest. When sheep eat, they're eating, but when they stop and they're resting, that's when the magic happens. That's when the food is digesting. That's when the growth can occur. And God gave them a land that's, you know, flowing with milk and honey. That's a land that can feed flocks and provide for their needs. It's a life that sustains life. As for us Christians, our appetite, we have appetites for all kinds of things. Good things, sinful things, distracting things, and we can be fed by all sorts of, in different ways. Our shepherd provides for the flock, and our shepherd, Jesus Christ, provides for us. The two things that we feed on or that we need to be satisfied with are Jesus Christ himself and his word. John 6, verse 27, Jesus says, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal." And in verse 33, Jesus continues to say, "For the bread of God is he," not what, "the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that has been that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." As Christians, our satisfaction has to come in the person of Jesus Christ. We can be fed by so many different things, but when David says he makes me to lie down in green pastures, that's a fullness and that's a contentment in what the shepherd has provided. And what has Christ provided for us but himself? And so if we're satisfied or chasing satisfaction in any other thing, we'll be like the sheep who is passing good grass and picking it at different things over here. And the shepherd can say, "No, come back here. There's plenty right here for you." And they wander, and we are prone to wander. But Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He says that himself, and he wants us to be satisfied in him. And because he's not here with us, he has given us his word. 2 Timothy 3:14. It says, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and what you have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it." Verse 16, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." Our truth, the truth that we need for life, comes from the Word of God, and we need to get we need to be fed from it because it's His Word. So as we know God, our Good Shepherd is always with us. He wishes to see us well fed. We can lie down and be satisfied. So to sum it all up, sheep are vulnerable. We are vulnerable. Our Shepherd provides safety and calm for us. Sheep are social beings, and we are social beings, and our identity can be challenged and frustrated when we are with other people. But our shepherd provides our worth, and he provides peace. And as living beings, we will always be hungry, and our shepherd provides satisfaction in himself and truth in his word. The Father has ordained this, the Son has made it possible, and the Holy Spirit makes it real. He makes these truths come alive and reminds us of what we are truly living for and who gives us life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our shepherd. We thank you for being our Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming and making a way for us to be right with the Father, not just dying for us and saving us from our sin, but being that perfect provider and protector through our lives. Holy Spirit, we thank you for not leaving us alone, but dwelling in us, so that as we go through this life and we are distracted, we are sinning, we fail, Holy Spirit, you can bring us back and remind us of who you are and what you are doing for us. Remind us of the truth in your word. Call that to mind. Convict us of sin so that we confess, we repent, and put our faith anew in Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Shepherd. Thank you for doing all this on our behalf. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.